All the songs this morning. What a joy it is to be able to fellowship, bring honor and glory to God. And that's why we're here, to give us this word, this precious one. We've written in the 32nd verse, this great chapter. Very instructive words that we're going to have this morning. Something that will help us analyze and help us study our lives. Look what he says in verse 32, Mark chapter 10. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto them and to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and to the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, sons of Zebedee, coming to him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to them, What would you that I should do for you? They said to him, Grant to us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said to them, You know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, We can. And Jesus said to them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We see here the story of primarily two of the disciples, which we would probably call two of the greatest disciples. Why? Because Jesus had trusted these two so much. James and John, sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee. Remember, it was they plus Peter that were taken up upon the mount and there saw Jesus transfigured. It was those three, Peter, James, and John, that were trusted to go with Jesus down into the garden to pray. The other eight, Jesus had already gone. That left eight. He knew they would go to sleep perhaps, but even these three went to sleep. But yet they were great disciples. They were learning. And Jesus, of course, gives us the precious Word of God. We have the Word of God written. It's inspired. It's instructed for us to learn from, and we can learn from it. I want to look at an analysis this morning of this particular chapter and maybe analyze these people. We see that the Lord is able to show us others' mistakes. And in showing us others' mistakes, we see our own mistakes. And when we do make mistakes, we can change. And we see now the ambition of these two great disciples. Let's go back at the very first and see why it's so important to analyze. We analyze a lot of things, but sometimes we don't analyze situations the Lord puts us in. And I believe this chapter will help us analyze not only the situation they were in, but sometimes the situation he puts you in and me in. And every time he does, there is the ability to learn and to acknowledge him and to gain strength from him. Jesus told about his suffering, about what was going to happen in the future. He had the assurance that he knew exactly what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. He orchestrated it. God authorized it. It pleased the Father to bruise him. And Jesus is telling everything that's going to happen to him to the disciples. And the Bible says they were afraid and they were amazed. They were amazed that he knew the future as well as the present and the past. And of course, in hearing the future, they were afraid. And in analyzing the situation, you would think that since they were afraid and since they were amazed, they would start looking at things the right way and say, well, perhaps we should get really close to him and see if we can't be there for him. He's going to suffer. Look what the scripture says. He's going to be delivered to the chief priest, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They could analyze their lives. We're with him. He's trusting us. He is telling us what's going to happen to him, and maybe we can learn from it. Maybe we can grow in strength. Maybe we can be closer to him during this time. Same thing happens to you and I so many times. He gives us situations that we're in. It may be sickness. It may be a friend that has a problem. Whatever the situation is, he knows the future. And we don't know the future, but we do know in these times when he puts us in difficult and dire situations, we need to gain strength from him because we know he knows the future. And we do so good at analyzing so many things. And I thank God would let us this morning try to learn how to analyze our actions, our attitude, just as we can analyze theirs. It's so easy to analyze what happens to James and John. Jesus told us. He told us about what happened to him, what was going to happen to both of them. And he said, can you drink of this cup that I'm going to drink of? And they said, we can. Boy, they really thought they were something. They thought they had arrived. And yet Jesus knew that James would be killed with the sword and John would be on the Isle of Patmos in the future. He knew that. And they were saying, we can drink of the cup. You're going to suffer death. And the cup he was going to drink of was pouring out his last blood for you and I, suffering and dying for the sins. And they were going to be servants of the Most High God and, yes, give their life because of Christ and be on that deserted island and write the wonderful book of Revelations for us. They didn't know that, but Jesus did. And there again, we were so good at analyzing things. Help us, Lord, to analyze our lives, our actions, our attitude as you reveal their lives to us. Let's just look at something I was sitting here thinking about how we analyze things. For instance, we look at products or anything in your life. You know, you start to buy an automobile and hopefully you do some research on it, find out which one's going to last long and cost less and get better mileage and all those things and get the best deal. And we analyze things like that and just look at the light fixture up there. It's been analyzed, and no doubt the manufacturer chose the right material so it wouldn't discolor, and so it would put out a lot of light and use less electricity than something else. But yet they made mistakes in that analysis. And you and I sometimes analyze our lives, and oh, do we make mistakes. We don't see how he wants us to see. For instance, the manufacturer of these particular lights had some deficiencies, and they had a 250-watt quartz bulb in the end of it, and they put it in the reflector, but it wasn't the right focal point, so it's a bright spot right on top of your head if you were under one. And we knew there would be problems with it, so we looked ahead and analyzed the situation. And every time a bulb burns out or every time something happens, we don't want to have to get a ladder. Where would you put it? Don't want to have to bring in a lift, so we chose to put lowering devices, push a button, and the lights come down. A little looking at the future, if you will. But then we got a lot of problems fixed because they gave us a rod to adjust the focal point of a lamp. But then something else came out better, LEDs. So on and on, things improved. And as we analyze our lives, surely we can improve upon them by studying and analyzing people's lives. We do a pretty good job analyzing products. But let us, by the help of God this morning, to analyze our own lives. Four things this morning I want to look at. First of all, the Bible says they were amazed. Just to be able to walk with the Lord and to see Him raise the dead and to see Him calm the storms and to see Him tell about the future, whatever it was, they would be amazed. You and I this morning should be amazed. God so loved you and I before we ever got here that He planned, orchestrated the future. That God in the right time, and we're almost at the Christmas season where we'll be celebrating the birth of the Lord and Savior, but God was able to look down through the avenues of time and in the darkness at the right time when nobody seemingly upon earth had been talking to God and He wasn't talking to them, then Jesus came in the midst of all this darkness. He saw you. He saw me. He saw the sins of the world. And God knew the only remedy for that would be to send His Son, the innocent one, the spotless one, and shed that blood, that holy blood, that powerful blood, and let that precious blood be taken to the mercy seat. And when we plead the mercy of God and when we ask forgiveness, then He saves us. That's amazing to me. And when I try to analyze that, my mind cannot comprehend, but I'm still amazed. I'm so amazed that surely I would not be thinking about what the disciples were thinking about, or do we sometimes do that? They'd just heard about the suffering, about the grief, about the sorrow, about being put to death, spit upon. And yet, they were looked at their own ambition. Immediately after that, they approached Jesus and said, "Now, Jesus," they didn't say this, or He didn't tell us, they said, "Yeah, you're going to have your problems, but we got our own little problems here. We're looking at our future too. You told us your future, and yeah, we're afraid of that, and we're amazed at that, but we got a future too. And our future is to turn upon the fact that we want to be so ambitious. We want one to be on the left and one to be on the right. We'll give you the privilege of saying which one's which, but we're going to tell you what we want." Selfish. Ambitious. Not looking at the things of God, not looking at the anguish that the Lord was going to have, but ambitions on their own. They wanted the advantage over others. There were 10 other disciples, and there was a lot of people that's going to be born in the kingdom of God, but they weren't looking at anyone else. In fact, they weren't looking at Jesus' suffering. They weren't looking at Jesus' anguish. They were not looking at the sorrow He was going to face. It seems that their own ambitions and their own attitude was, we're going to look at ourselves. So let us learn from that. Let us learn to analyze our lives. When we just see the sorrow of others, a lot of the people hurting much more than us. And yet when we have our aches and pains, sometimes we're only able to see our own sorrows. And sometimes when we look at the fact that those people we know that's dying without Christ, and they will die eventually, and if they don't get saved, they're not going to go to a place called heaven. Should that not occupy our minds more than our positions, than our ambitions? Who does what? And who gets praise and honor? And who is chosen for this? And who is chosen for that? And if the walls are white or if the walls are blue, and all these insignificant things compared to the anguish and the grief that their Lord was going to have to suffer and has suffered, and all the people that's going to have to go to that awful place called hell, and we're not praying as we should, me, no doubt you, we're not seeking God's face as much as we ought to, and we're just kind of like James and John now. We're not looking at the real thing. We're not analyzing all the real possibilities, and we're missing opportunities. They could have done a lot of things different. They could have said, "Lord, what can we do?" And he would have said, just have faith in me. I've got it all covered, boys. But one thing I'll ask you not to do, don't look at yourselves. Because you're going to have to suffer your own. Didn't he tell him right then? But he knew James was going to die with the sword. He knew John was going to go to an island. And now the rest of the disciples, what did they do? Well, when they heard about it, that how these people had taken advantage and went to Jesus behind their back to try to orchestrate, to try to put themselves on the pedestal so Jesus would give them more authority than they got jealous. Most people would, but that wasn't the right attitude also. But they, you know what they should have done? When they see two people out of line, they should have done what we should do when we see people out of line. They should have got on their knees and prayed for them. Now, James and John, they're good old boys. But we need help, Lord. We need you to strengthen them. We know they're wrong, and you know they're wrong. But what did they do? They got mad. They got angry. The Bible says, look very closely what they said. And when the 10 heard it, verse 41, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Now, if you're displeased with somebody, no telling what's going to happen. You may ridicule them. And obviously, they were talking in their little circle. Can you believe what James and John did behind our backs? They went to the Lord and tried to get him to give them the advantage over us. Did they think they're better than we are? Sometimes, or we a lot like that? Let's analyze the situation when we see others prosper more than we. When we see others maybe more healthy than we, or whatever it is, and maybe putting themselves on the pedestal. I mean, we do wrong, all of us do. But when we do wrong, and when others do wrong, let's analyze our own selves, and let's look at their own selves and say, Lord, I'm not much to talk about them. Help me first, but then after you get me where you need me to be, get my attitude right, my thinking right, and so I won't want to take advantage of other people. Then I'm praying for them. I know they're wrong. It's so easy to see others' faults, isn't it? It's so easy to see the faults of others, but Lord, help us analyze our own faults. And now this is going to make those two ought to have been ashamed. John and James, the two brothers, they should have been ashamed. I don't see any repentance. I don't see them going to apologize to the disciples. I don't see them going to apologize to Jesus for their incorrect decisions. The ability that God had given them was much. They could have been doing such a great work praying. He told them to pray many times, and they heard him pray. So now it has brought reproach upon the whole group of disciples. What one does brings reproach on everyone else. And now it alienates them. And God help us never to do anything in our families or in our congregation or even on the job to alienate our friends or our loved ones. And you can do that easily by trying to take advantage of someone, whatever we decide that we want better than they, then we're alienating them. We ought to be ashamed of that. God help us. But now, lastly, let's see what Jesus, the final line is up to Jesus. He sees their displeasures. He sees their ambitions. He sees everything about them. He hears the quarrels of the other disciples. He knows their disappointments and their displeasures. He knows everything about every one of them. And he has told them all about himself. Didn't interest them too much. How many times in every one of our life we go through life and we're so concerned about ourselves and maybe even others. We should maybe be more concerned about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die, and he did die. He suffered for sins. He arose. He ascended up on high. And now he has chosen us. I'm amazed that he has chosen me, because who am I? I'm unworthy. I have nothing to be able to, no credentials whatsoever, nothing I could do, have ever done or ever could do to do anything for him except he enabled me. So there's nothing I can do or nothing I could ask except, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And help me, Lord, in this life I live to keep my life straight, to keep my attitude not to alienate myself against you, which these two people had, but not to alienate myself against anyone else. Because when we do that, we bring disgrace to the kingdom of God. And they should have been, every one of them, saying, Lord, we realize you just told us you're going to die. You're going to suffer. Let our sorrow be as your sorrow. And they did not hear and understand whatsoever. But on the third day, look at that text in verse 34. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall arise again. What a good piece of news that was. But yet, it didn't faze them whatsoever. In fact, it didn't even sink in. How many times does God do something for you and I, or we hear the word of God, and we know there's truth in it? He said, I live, I'll abide in you forever. I'll take care of all your needs according to my riches and glory. And the first thing that happens, we get afraid, and we're amazed. What am I going to do now? We're not hearing what he's already told us. Jesus said, yes, I'm going to suffer. Feel sorry for me for that. They're going to mock me. They're going to reject me. They're going to spit on me. But good news. On the third day, I'll rise again. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. That didn't faze them whatsoever. Let's analyze our own lives. And there's the things of God where he has given us the victory. He said, from victory to victory. Why are we sometimes defeated? We're just like these disciples. We take displeasure when others don't do right. And we don't always discern what he wants us to do. And when we do, we stand back and we don't claim the precious word of God. But let's look at the Lord's analysis of it. We've seen man's, it's not very good. Man's analysis was not good at all. They were amazed, all right. And all they want to do is be taking advantage of somebody else, be an authority, be up in the upper echelon, if you will. But now let's look what Jesus says. Verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Now, that's the way the world is. The leaders, those in control, they tell others what to do and others have to do it. And they get to do the choosing. That's the world's way. And those that are in authority, they look down on everybody else, perhaps, in the Gentile world. And sometimes they take that authority too far and they exercise lordship over people. That's their way. But look what he says is our way. So shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. See, man and the Gentiles, and we're Gentiles. We've been taught, you know, those in authority, they take advantage of it so many times. And they look down upon others that there aren't in authority. That's man's way. That's the Gentiles' way. But the Lord says, no. The greatest is not the ones that got authority. The great ones are those that minister to others. God looks at it so differently. His analysis is so different from ours. So let's go by his analysis, because he's the one going to get the glory. He's the one that sets the rules. He's the one that does the rewarding. He's the one that does the blessings. And when you and I stoop down low to minister to others in need, God looks upon that and smiles upon that and will bless you more than if he does to choose to put you in authority over some church or over some business or whatever. Oh, it looks like the Gentiles will give you a lot of glory for that, the way the world looks. God says, just minister one to another. As you've done it to one another, you've done it unto me. I like his analysis, don't you? From a humble heart. What causes us to look down and stoop down low and minister to others that's less fortunate than us, or that's in special need more than us? Or sometimes we're in as much need as they are, but we lend a helping hand, we pray for them, we go out of our way to say encouraging words to them, and the Lord says, I'll bless that more than if I would have put you in authority. James and John surely are listening to this. They wouldn't listen about the third day. If so, they didn't mention it. They were not asking for forgiveness that we heard. And the other disciples were not asking for forgiveness for being angry with them. But the Lord says, here's the way I look at it, and this is the way you need to look at it. Verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest, chiefest shall be servant of all. So James and John and the rest of the disciples and you and I, if we want to be the chiefest, then we need to be servants. And that God looks at that, and he smiles upon it, and he counts it a blessing. And here James and John wanted to be in authority, one on the right, one on the left. And he put that to shame. He said, my analysis is not like you boys. Because I look at, I came to die and to be a servant and to shed my blood for everyone that will accept me. And you boys are just looking at your own ambition. Your own attitudes are wrong. And you're alienating the rest of the group. Look at it my way. Let me analyze the whole scope of life. We do good analyzing products. Well, not so good, but we try to. But we have a real hard time sometimes, most of the time, analyzing our own attitudes, our own selves. Because God puts every one of us in certain situations. You different than me, and you different than someone else. But he trusts you. He trusts you to look to him and let him direct your path. And every time, if you want to get glory and give glory to God, it won't be lifting yourself up high in that situation. It won't be trying to get the recognition or trying to get the pleasure of somebody saying, oh, look what they've done. No, it will just be a humble servant. Lastly, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus was willing to be that servant, to stoop down low, to die for our sins. And James and John and everyone, the rest of us, let's not look at ourselves. Let's not analyze greatness by who's in authority and who gets their way and who is right and who's wrong. Let's just look at one another's needs. And most of all, let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what do you want from my life? What situation will you put me in next where I can bring you honor and glory? And I want to do that, Lord. Don't let me miss it. Look how they squandered this opportunity. They heard the voice of Jesus telling them about the future. They could have just went right up in his bosom and said, Lord, I know if you said it's going to happen, and I know it's for the best. We don't understand it all, but here we are. Let's pray that you'll give us strength to endure, not look at their own attitudes. God has helped me this morning by letting me analyze my life. And I believe he put this chapter in here to help every one of us analyze our situation that we go through. It's easy to see James and John. It's easy to see the other 10 while they were jealous, although jealousy is wrong too. Lord, help us to see ourselves as you see us. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? How the message was missed opportunities. Opportunities that we squander could be in every situation. God will not put any one of us in the situation, but what he'll be there with us. And if we'll listen to him, give him honor and glory. And I'll assure you it won't be pats on our back, and it won't be recognition for ourselves. If it is, it's not of God. It should be about him, about the kingdom of God, exalting him in their midst. Altar is open. If you come to piano, organ, play whatever God puts on.